Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet. And it goes on to list many, many things that were needed. And he says they were to bring. So they were to bring what they had. They were to contribute what they could. And then God gave them skillful people who could take what they gave and build it into the beautiful tabernacle in which the Lord God dwelt in the wilderness. And then in the next chapter, that's found in Exodus 35, and then in chapter 36, these people God had given Moses some skillful men, and these people begin to bring the offering, and they still continued to bring to him free will offerings every morning. And all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, the people are bringing much more than enough for the construction work which God has commanded us to perform. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let neither man nor woman any longer perform work for the contribution for the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from giving any more. Now, it's interesting that as they built a tabernacle and God sent out the word through all the camp and said, anyone who has a willing heart, come and contribute what you can to the construction of the tabernacle. And they started bringing, and morning after morning, and finally, God says, that's enough. And Moses had to issue a command, don't any man or woman contribute any more. We have all that's needed. Now, you know, in the New Testament, there's some, and year by year, as I've spoken to you, we've gone over some of these same passages. We're going to do it again this morning. I don't know of any place in the Scriptures where you'll learn more about giving than if you'll look into 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. So this morning, I want us to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want to just point out a few things to you about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And Paul is writing, and he says, now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia. Now, Paul is specifically talking about the money that's been given, and he calls it the grace of God. And he says that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Consequently, we urge Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, that he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. And I give my opinion in this matter, for this is to your advantage, who were the first to begin a year ago, not only to do this, that is, a year ago you began to take up this offering, but also to desire to do it. But now, finish the doing of it, that just as there was a readiness to desire, so there may also be a completion of it by your ability. For if there's a, if the readiness, the willingness is present, it is acceptable according to what a man has, not according to what he does not have. Now let's pray, and then we'll talk about these verses. Father, you have been so gracious to us. We look around this place, we see the beauty, and again, Father, you have arranged the weather in a beautiful way for us, so that we could have the warm days where students could enjoy, where we could all enjoy hiking and being around and being outside. And then you let us see the beauty of your snow. And Father, you have provided for us. And when we think of all the people in the world, we are so blessed to have been able to spend this week together. And Father, every day we've assembled here, you have sent men and women who walk with you to share their lives with us. And Father, we don't want to leave these grounds and be like we were before we came. We want to be men and women who are completely yours and who for the rest of our lives will love you with all our hearts, take everything that you give us and offer it back to you, and give our lives to making disciples. Now, Father, in the few minutes we have this morning, and then as we scatter to go spend time with you, we pray that this day you will do a deep work in our hearts, and that when we leave these grounds, we will know at least the next step of what you want us to do, because we've prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, the Bible says five things about money. It talks about earning. Now, let me ask you this. What do you know about earning? Just some principles that relate to that. What? Tell me something you know about earning money. Okay, work. Okay? The Bible has something to say about that. If a man does not work, don't let him eat. So I'd say this summer, just let me give you a little advice. You're going home. You're looking for a job. You don't have a job. I got a job. I've got a job for every single one of you. Okay? If you don't have a job, the first day, you look for a job 8 hours. Okay? You look for a job 8 hours every day till you find a job. Don't lounge around, make one call mid-morning the first day. You need a job? You got a job. I mean, every one of you got a job already. Look for a job 8 hours a day till you find one. Okay? Now, so the Bible talks about work. Okay, what else? Work hard, right? What else do you know about work?
Do honest work.
Do honest work. You know, folks, I may starve to death, but I will never drive a beer truck for Coors. Just won't do it. Don't believe in it, won't do it. Okay? So honest work. You want to work, you want to work hard, you want to do honest work. Okay? Now, the Bible also gives some insight about spending. What do you know just about spending money? I mean, you may know more about that than you do earning it. But what do you know about spending? Just some things. Maybe from Proverbs or other places. But what do you know about spending money? Huh?
Wisely.
Wisely. Okay. You want to get good value for your money there. Okay, what else you know about spending?
Don't spend more than you make.
Don't spend more than you make. Okay, very good. Okay, we could talk about other things. But the Bible talks about earning. It talks about spending. It talks about saving. What do you know about saving? Now, you have to, you understand there's a difference between saving and storing. You know, Jesus says you don't store up. You don't save money in such a way that it gets your heart, or you're like the foolish man who has much goods laid up for many years, and he says, soul, eat, drink, be merry, all of that. But it's wise to save. A wise man foresees evil and he hides himself. In other words, if you've got 40,000 miles on the tires on your car, it's not an emergency when they blow out.
Okay? So it's wise to save a little such that you can give, like some of you. If you're going to give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering at your church on over Christmas, you may have to save for a few months in order to do that. You don't let money grip your heart, and even your savings, it's always, you hold it with an open hand, so if God wants to do something else with it, He can. All right? Now, we've talked about earning, spending, saving. The Bible also talks about investing. You remember the man came, Jesus tells the story one day. A man gives his servant 5 talents, 1 3 talents, 1 1 talent, and he goes away. He comes back later and he asked him to give an account. One man had taken his talents and made 5 more. Another one had taken his 3 and made 3 more. One man hid it. And you know what the Lord said? You wicked servant. Why didn't you at least put it out to interest? And so investing. It's the old idea of the farmer and the corn. Farmer raises corn. He feeds some of it to the pigs, so now he can have some ham. Feeds some of the chickens, so he can have ham and eggs. Okay? And he sells some of it and buys his wife a dress, buys some gas for his tractor. But he takes some of it, puts it in a sack, hangs it up in the barn, so he'll have some seed to plant next year. And sometimes God, and many of you here, during your lifetime, God will pour hundreds of thousands of dollars. If you live a normal life, God will pour hundreds of thousands of dollars through your hands. Some of you, many of you, may be millionaires. You want to learn. You want to be givers. But you also want to learn to invest and multiply. As we try to multiply our life, we want to multiply our funds so we can do more and more for the kingdom of God. So the Bible talks about investing. And then it talks about giving. Now, I want us to notice some things this morning about giving. Notice the people who gave to help the churches of Macedonia. Do you know which were some of the churches in Macedonia? Thessalonica, Philippi. You remember Philippi where Paul was thrown and Silas in prison and beaten, and they were singing praises to God. It's interesting, when they got out of prison, you know what they did? They went and comforted the brethren. Thought, if I'd been beaten, thrown in prison, I'd think I'd want somebody to comfort me. But anyway, that's what Paul did. Now notice, it says, in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Deep joy, abiding joy and poverty. You know, when you take a Christian who's walking with God and in his life there's real joy, I don't care how much he doesn't have, there's going to flow out of him a wealth of liberality. You know, this old thing that sometimes, and you know, they say, well, college students we're not wage earners. Yeah, but I notice we usually have money for pizza. You got more t-shirts for everything that comes up than you'll ever be able to wear. Everything that comes through town, we got to have a t-shirt for. A lot of people in churches think college students aren't givers. You know, I think that's a tragic thing. I think you ought to be givers. You know, sometimes you may need to think, you know, I can do without a pizza. I can do without one more t-shirt that I'll never wear out. And I can give. And I will do that. I'd say this to you, that many of you, I know you're going to school during a year, go home, that's when you have your job. You know what I decided when I was in college? I looked at my college church, and here they're really trying to minister to the college students, and I go back to my home church, and there are very, very few college students. But yet it was in the summer when I made money, and I didn't make money when I was going to school. So I figured up one day. I never was real good in math, but I sat down one night and I figured this out. You know, 9 months out of the year I'm in school. That's 3/4 of the time. And so when I'd get my check every week, I'd write 1/4 of that money to go to my home church back at home, and I'd mail 3/4 of it back to my church in college. You know, I wasn't very smart, but it just made sense to me. You might want to do that. And I want to say before we say anything about the BSU, and I've said this to you year after year, first of all, you ought to give to the church where you go. We are a part of something bigger than we are. You know, it was the visions of the churches that created the BSU in the first place. It was the churches who said, we want someone out there working with our students during the week, because with all the people we have to minister to, we can't be out there during the week. So we're going to give money to help you be out there. We're going to help. And they built a building. And they pay some money. And the churches give to help us to be there. And that's one of the reasons on Sunday we lock our doors at the BSU. Sometimes a student will come up and say, what time you meet on Sunday? And I say, we don't meet here on Sunday. We want you to be in a local church on Sunday. And students, I'd say this to you. Don't just come and sample around for 4 years. Go somewhere, find a church where you ought to be a part, and move your membership. And let me say it, tell you, that is not disloyalty to your local church. A student told me one time, said, you know, I thought if I joined a church here at college, I'd be being disloyal to my home church. No, one of the greatest things you can do for your home church is get your cotton picking name off the list if you aren't there on Sunday. You want to be a part of where you are. And if something happens in your life, you want some people who feel a responsibility in that local area for your life. You know, guys, if I started messing around with another woman, you know what would happen to me? I fear what would happen to me, but I know one thing. I know at least 5 other men that would be on top of me in a hurry, because I made a commitment to a local church, and those men in that church want to see that people walk with God. But what's going to happen to your life if you walk out into sin? Not a pastor in Norman feels responsibility for you, and he shouldn't, because you've not made any commitment. And if you're going to have a flock, you at least have to know how many sheep are in it. And so I just say to you, you go back, and regardless of whatever else you do, and I've said this to you many, many times, you don't have anything better to do on Sunday morning, get up and be in Sunday school and church. And if you'd make that decision once and for all, it'd save you a lot of decision-making time in life. Just make it and do it. So you get in it too. Well, so what? I've gotten in lots of Saturday nights in my life, driving in from a retreat and gotten in at 2 or 3. It's not debatable where I'll be up on Sunday morning. And that's a part of the larger body, and that's where you're going to be when you get out of the BSU. You're going to be in a local church. And so first of all, you have a part in giving to your local church. But also it's biblical to give to people that help you. They gave to Paul. Paul would come through and preach and start a church. And they would give to support that ministry, but they'd also send money to help him. And when he's in Thessalonica, he said, you sent to me once and again. And these people from Philippi and other places had sent to help him in his ministry. And so I want to say to you also, I know during these years, you're not wage earners. You don't earn a great deal. But I remember one day when I got a scholarship at Texas A&M. And I got to thinking about that. I thought, you know, maybe I ought to give out of my scholarship money. I mean, there's nothing said I couldn't do that. And so I just decided, hey, whatever came in of my scholarship money, 10% of that, I'm going to give to the Lord's work. Now, regardless of what your level is, you may not have much, but you can give something. And notice here, these people had deep poverty. Deep poverty. Not only that, but they were going through a great ordeal of affliction. These people were suffering, and they didn't have much. But when you combine the joy in their heart and their poverty, out of that, came on the abundance of giving. But notice, the first thing Paul, he said, you know, this, first of all, they gave themselves to the Lord. And you know, we say this to you, if you're here, you're not a Christian, you're not a part, or if you're at USC, we don't want you to give to the ministry at OU. We want you to give where you are. If you're not a Christian, we don't expect you to give. Not until first you give your life to the Lord. Now these people, notice in verse 4, they begged us with much entreaty for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. There wasn't this high pressure thing, you know, come in, you've got to support the saints. I mean, Paul tells them about a need, and they begin to beg him. Hey, we want to have a part. We want to give. We want to have a part in this. Now, remember, they're in deep poverty. They're going through great afflictions. But they beg him. Beg him. We want to have a part. And they gave themselves to the Lord. Now, some of the people, apparently, they'd already been thinking about this offering to help, and they were going to help some of the poor saints, some of the people that were really going through it. Now, and Paul apparently comes through and he tells them about this. I don't know as he was expecting any great offering, because he's telling them about some of the poor saints, and who's he telling? He's telling these poor saints about these other poor saints. So you wouldn't think telling a group of poor saints about some other poor saints would take up a big offering. But these people had a heart to give. They loved God because of the joy in their heart. They were willing to give, and it overflowed in an abundance of their giving. And he said, now some of you have been thinking about it. You've been thinking about it for quite a while. He said, now perform the doing of it. Now I want you to know, if there's first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. Now these people gave according to their ability, and then Paul said, you know, that doesn't quite say it. You know, they gave according to their ability. Well, no, really, they gave beyond their ability. And the state director has asked us to take up money to try to help. Now, out of the money that we're giving to help with the state, Dick Jaquis is one of them that's going to Malawi. Dick, where are you? Everybody? Okay. John Westrop. John, where are you? Okay, John, you're going to Malawi, right? Neil Foster. Neil Foster's going to Malawi. They'll be going over leading basketball clinics. You guys stand up. You see, apart from their spiritual life, why they were chosen. Okay, thanks. Jessica wanted to go, but we wouldn't let her. And so, one of the things we want to do is we want to give $5,000 to help with the state offerings. Because this helps kids from BSUs all over the state. And it helps some that maybe they're not as blessed as we are. And we can help them to be able to go. And then also, how many of you are going overseas this summer? Others of you that are going. Would you just stand? Okay. Up here in the balcony, tell us where you're going.
China.
China. Now, those of you that are from, there's a couple up here from USC. Where are y'all going?
China.
China?
Southeast Asia.
Cambodia.
Cambodia.
Oh, you're going to be with our buddies. Good. Okay, back here. Call out your name and just where you're going. Okay.
Brad, I'm going to Nepal.
Gabrielle,
I'm going to
China.
Dana, I'm going to Jordan.
Aaron,
I'm going to
Southeast Asia.
Michelle, I'm going to France.
Lacey, I'm going to China. Brian, I'm
going to Cambodia. Chad, I'm going to Malta.
Good. Okay, one of the things we want to do is help these people to go. Now, sometimes there's been some confusion because students will pledge money to Glenn. It's going to the BSU and they think, well, it's all going to these people. As I mentioned, one of the first things we want to do is we want to give $5,000 to our state summer missions offering. We also want to help these 10 people. Now, if if we give, basically what we've talked about, and many of you, you've seen on the screen, now many of you can give more than that. You know, when we first started coming to the Glen, and for many, many years, we challenged the students to give whatever it costs to come to the Glen. You know, we've seen God do some amazing things in that offering. We've seen the time in which we would have $21,000 come in. And when students would pledge a certain amount, and then they gave more than they pledged. That hasn't been true in recent years. I remember one time we were here, and we'd take up the offering. We'd just let people write on a card what they'd give within the next year. Our little son was just a little bitty guy. And incidentally, I am so grateful for the way you treat the staff children. You know, that's such a special time for them to come. And they grow up. And you know, one of the reasons I think, I tell people all the time, one of the greatest places in the world to raise children is in student work. Because they have the opportunities to be with you. And I remember we were sitting out here, and I just turned around and I wrote on the board all the different things we wanted to give to. And it's a big, long list. We got down to the bottom, we totaled it up. I think that year it was $14,376 or something like that. I mean, just weird. The students out there, they went out and prayed. They wrote on the card what they were going to give. Brent was sitting by Sandra, and he was doing his little pledge deal. And he wrote down $10. And then he wanted an eraser, and he erased that. And he put down $20. That day when a girl came in, she could hardly say anything because she had gone. We'd had a group to go total the giving. When they brought back that night, it was to the penny what had been written on the board. Nobody had talked to anybody. God did that. And you know, he was so excited because he thought, you know, I felt God told me to change that. And if I hadn't changed that, it wouldn't have come out that way. And I thought if people out there, one by one, could have said the same thing. If they hadn't done what God had asked them to do, it wouldn't have come out that way. Now this morning, what I want you to do, in a few minutes, we're gonna scatter and we're gonna spend the morning with the Lord. I want you to take a little sheet of paper. I want you to pray while you're there. I'm gonna say, we're going to have an announcement. I'm going to say a few more words to you about what we'll do once we get out there. But I want you to pray about what you feel that you can give between now and this time next year. And if you can give it as soon as possible, that would be helpful because these missionaries are going out soon. Sometimes what we try to do, because we trust you, we try to scrounge around money in the BSU. And go ahead and give it to these people because they have to leave just trusting that you're going to replace it. But the quicker you can do it, the better. But some of you won't be able to give till this summer. Some of you may say, well, I've got a job. I can start giving $10 a month or whatever. But you pray and ask the Lord. Maybe you've never done that in your whole life, to just ask the Lord to impress you what you should give. And you write that down. Now, we don't bug you about it. That's between you and the Lord. You write your name. If you would, we'd appreciate it if you'd write your full college address, your phone number, and even your permanent address. If you know where you're going to be this summer, go ahead and give us that and indicate that. Because we always are struggling to get everybody's exact address for the summer. And then you just put on there the amount that you plan to give between now and the time we come to the Glen next year.